Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Don't touch that dial. You're tuned in to the Dread Podcast Network.
Hey, y'all.
Howdy, friends.
Welcome back to another episode of Girl That's Scary. It's Jazz, 40-ounce connoisseur, and...
it's Cat Daddy, and we have amazing guests, and I am excited.
Ye
amazing
fucking guests. Ha.
That's fucking right. Take the mic and tell everybody who you are, because they did not read the title.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. It's Joe Lipsid and...
Trace Thurman from Bloody Disgusting's Horror Queers podcast. Returning guest, please go listen to our episode on Drag Me to Hell. But yeah, you know, two queer dudes talking about a different horror film each week through a queer lens. That's our shtick, and we are sticking to it.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Please pull up for Horror Queer Wednesdays. I'll be in there.
I'm present.
Y'all released what was it? It was a Hitchcock film recently because I had just watched it for the first time, and it was happened to be y'all episode that week. And I said, "Well,
fortuitous."
Yes, I just like, oh, look at that beep because I'm about to get all the production knowledge. Yes, that's where y'all go if you want the background, if you want the tea on who made the movie, who wrote the movie, who they might have got to act in there first, and who ended up on screen. Go to the Horror Queers.
Mm-hmm. That's and
pull up on their Patreon.
That's always the thing where whenever we're doing the production histories and I come across drama, I'm like, ooh, this is gonna be good.
Trace loves it.
And this is me. Ooh,
leaning
in. No, seriously,
T.
Yes. Now you guys selected Rogue 2007, which is a fucking croc movie, and okay, you know, you never, when you say, hey y'all, pick this movie, you never know what anyone's gonna say, because our friend like Tyro, they was like, yeah, we about to do Torn Hearts, and I was like, okay, and I like that movie, but I just wasn't expecting it, but it was a good time. Now Rogue I watched before, but I wasn't expecting it, so I hadn't seen it in a while. Okay, y'all, this crocodile needs to be fucking arrested. Someone needs to come get this motherfucker out the water right now. So before we get into this, why did y'all select this movie?
Hey, I feel like it was this and one other one, Joe, right? Did we have another option?
Doom.
Yeah, we had contemplated doing Doomsday, which is a Neil Marshall movie, right. But, you know, we know that Kat doesn't always love the action movies, and that one's kind of a big genre hybrid.
No,
so okay, we
no,
thought we but would like, stick in our aquatic horror, you know, our favorite subgenre of horror. And we figured we would never really have an opportunity to talk about Rogue because there's like absolutely nothing queer about this movie. So it was just a good excuse to chat about it with you too.
Well, and I think like whenever we get into a conversation about creature features or aquatic horror, like it will always bring up Rogue. We're like, oh yeah, isn't Rogue like so fucking good? But like, it's one of those things where we haven't covered it. We didn't think we were gonna cover it anytime soon. And I mean, I think both of us were just looking for a chance to rewatch it because this is, I mean, I think in like top tier creature territory.
Oh yeah, definitely for killer crocs, definitely, or alligators. I had to look up the difference because I was like, apparently crocodiles, their noses are like V-shaped.
They have more narrow snout. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're longer, they're bigger, they're more aggressive, they'll go in salt water, more salt water versus alligator.
It's so interesting because, you know, I tweeted I was watching this and people were like, oh my god, yeah, it's so much better than Lake Placid. And I was like, okay, but like Lake Placid is like bottom rung, like creature. Like I don't think Lake Placid is a
but
very
also,
good
but also it's a horror comedy. It's a completely different beast. Like there's well, maybe there's a little bit of comedy in Rogue, but for the most part, this is deadly serious.
Well, yeah, I think I mean, if you're going to like do comparisons, Lake Placid wouldn't be my first choice. It would be something like Alligator or something like Crawl.
Crawl. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crawl.
I own that movie.
Crawl's great.
I keep forgetting I own that movie because when we covered it, it was not for rent nowhere. So I had to buy it. And I keep forgetting, I still own that movie digitally. Let me just go ahead and go to Vudu that I never go to really. But I'm going to just watch it. That was a wild time.
And those are alligators.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm scared.
I gotta get you to Gatorland. So whenever I see an alligator or y'all land, I'm so serious. An alligator or a croc movie or anything like reptilian, I'm immediate like, it's time to go back to Gatorland and eat gator nuggets and learn about how, oh, look at your face. Alligator tastes very good.
Oh no. I am from Louisiana.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes. Where like the outlet malls have fucking fried alligator on a stick in like the food court. So I'm all there for
and
you.
And I'm tuned in.
I've never tried it. I've always wanted to, but every time we watch Wild Things and they have like the gator farm thing, I'm just like, I would want to go, but I'd be terrified. So scared.
Okay. If you're ever in Orlando, Florida, just go on down to Gatorland. I'm not on their payroll, but I've been going there since the youth them. And I will say they have downsized the menu. They used to have gator ribs and all kinds of stuff. And now they just have, yes. And now they just have nuggets, as you see me grab my girl. But I say this to say, you learn so many fun facts about alligators and crocodiles, especially because there's like albino like alligator or crocodile, and then they have one that like jumps in the air. I didn't know they jumped just like on the ground, like pounce in the air, not out of the water. Then they feed them in real time.
I think
I'm scared.
The factoid about like alligators and crocs that always scares me the most that I wish they would put in a movie is how fast they can run, because they always talk about how like, oh, they can swim like 20 miles an hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I want to see them. I want to see this thing chase someone on land. Ooh. And I feel like that's something I haven't really seen in a crocodile alligator movie yet. If it exists, if anyone knows, by all means, like send it my way. I would love to see this happen.
Listen,
I think they try to do a piece of that in this movie. I'm not trying to get too far ahead, but they try to do a little bit of it, especially when we got down the scene with like the tunnels or like quick shots. But I'm with you, Trace. I would love to see that more because you see it like in nature videos. I don't know about y'all, but I'm real zoomed in.
I want,
they're
like,
going so fast.
Like, you know that scene in The Lost World Jurassic Park where they're in the tall grass and like the raptor tails are like, there's that overhead shot where you can see it catching up with them. Mm-hmm. I want an overhead shot of a gator or a croc chasing someone through a field just so you can see how fast it catches
terrifying.
Okay, new fear unlocked because, all right, right, you know, I don't really play around with lake water. Like, every time I see a horror movie, they be like, we going to the swimming hole. Y'all going to the swimming hole. I love to swim. I was on the swim team. I love to swim in the pool, in the fucking pool. I'll go to the beach, but so far am I going into the beach. Although I can swim well, that's not a good idea. But a standstill lake... No, we're not doing that. I'm not getting in there.
I don't like the mud on my feet. Like, it's not even, like, I don't even mind that the water is brown, but, like, it has to be deep enough to where I cannot touch the bottom of this lake, which really in and of itself is kind of a scary idea anyway when you can't see or feel the bottom, but that's what I need from a lake. With a beach, I'm good with whatever, but I don't like salt water. Salt water just feels gross on my body.
I like salt water. I do.
What's that movie where that was on Shudder that came, that was a Shudder exclusive not too long ago, where that alligator got stuck up in that pool?
The pool?
Yes, the pool.
It's called The Pool.
You knew it. Bro. You just didn't get there.
Nope, I was like, what was it called again?
Because the pool would have been too obvious. Yeah. Obvious. It's like,
right. I was like, it was something crazy. No, that also unlocked the fear because you minding your business and now you trapped in the pool. An empty pool. Mm-hmm. No.
That movie's great. I love that movie.
It's so
ridiculous.
Good, though.
Same. Very
also,
over the top.
Why is there no shallow end? This is wild. I'm not getting in here. I should be able to
like
walk my
tie
ass
listeners
to the
3 feet.
In. Like, why is everything 12 feet? I need it to rain. Please.
I think it's because it was an Olympic diving pool. I think that's the reason why it was so deep.
I think that was the excuse.
Yeah, it's like,
for
it still doesn't make
there's
sense.
There's a lot of things in that movie that are stupid without an excuse, but I think that's kind of part of the movie's charm. Like, it knows that. Like, it's very self-aware silly, but still really intense, which is why I kind of I like it so much.
I was scared. I don't. Again, I keep saying I'm scared, but animals, cat loves animals, like dogs and stuff. The cat eyebrows got, she was like, cats and dogs.
Hey,
like, these are specific, right here. That's why.
This even narrow a wild definition dog of animal.
Like, I'm not even, I'm afraid of dogs without a collar because I've been chased by many a dog growing up. No, thank you. So, a wild animal with scales and teeth and that can swim fast and propel itself out of the water with its tail? No. The answer's no. And this movie is pretty much overview before we get into spoilers all the way. We talked a lot about Crocs and all that. But the movie is pretty much these tourists, well, a particular tourist, but a group of tourists, they get on a boat and they get into a situation where it's them against this big ass crocodile. And that's really all you really need to know. There are deaths and there's blood and the croc looks fucking good. I was like, they got close ups on this motherfucker. Is somebody puppeteering this? Hold on. This is giving not quite Jurassic Park, but it feels like I could reach out and touch the alligator, although I know that is not an actual crocodile. It's a crocodile. But also,
you don't
I'm like,
touch either.
No, but I'm like, you could reach out. It feels like you could touch him.
You know, well, what do we think of the CGI in this crocodile? I think for me, it's very much for 2007, I think this looks quite good.
Yeah.
But because we're talking about, I think Crawl has like really, really good CGI creatures. But again, that's like over 10 years later. But were the animatronics in like close-ups of this shark? Because there's no way the whole thing was animatronic at any point, was it?
I have a special feature on my disc, I think because I'm Canadian. So there's like a 46-minute making of doc.
Amazing.
And you can definitely see that they had two different animatronics that they were using. When they're seeing crocs off the boat, when they first go into the channel, those are real crocodiles. That's like an established area where you can go for tourists. And then most of the stuff in the lair is CGI. Yeah.
But it look, you know what? If most of it was CGI, that looks very good. Now, to be fair, I'm someone who watches movies like Two-Headed Shark Attack. So let me just go ahead and let everyone know listening.
The bench is low.
Inhale. It's inhale. It's like not even in purgatory. It's in that bitch. Like at least the third circle of hell. So I'm used to seeing graphics that are giving the hell and Spawn. Like that's how bad I'm willing to go if it's entertaining enough. This was brutal, but also I was like, that's a little CG, but it almost looked like CG with an overlay. Like maybe it was overlaid over something.
I think for me too, it's a thing where like, cause creature features, I feel like you walk in expecting CGI because they're not going to get a real creature and
they shouldn't.
Exactly.
They should not.
But I think it's a thing where that's why so many creatures like we call them campy, right? Because I think the CGI or the cartoonishness of the creature adds to that camp or bad aesthetic of it. So the feat that Rogue pulls off that is so impressive is that this is not a campy movie. This is not a silly movie. Mm-mm. And director Greg McLean somehow like maintains that suspense and tension despite a completely CGI creature.
He does. And I was like, wait a minute. Because you're seeing the other crocodiles. They're establishing a danger. You're seeing like the photos of the crocodile, like how big they can get. That photo of that little boy was, hold on, we already did a spoiler alert, guys.
We finna spoil it. We already did.
You saw the title. If you came in this far and you want to goddamn listen, that's what you get. That's what you get, all right?
Spoiled.
We're 12 minutes in here and you still talk about something. Let me go ahead. Go watch the movie.
Shout
thank
out
you.
To
it's
you.
On Tubi and Freevee. And it's on, it's on several places for free. But that boy inside, I was like, that would have made me go. I would have called my editor. I know the service was trash, but I would have had to send a telegram.
And those are all real, I think, too. Like, I think all the newspaper clippings on that wall were real, except for the one at the end that, you know, tells the story of the movie.
Well, yes.
I believe.
Yeah. I wanted to be like, that's not real. But also there are stories of somebody getting bit by a shark or, you know, getting eaten by some kind of creature and they live to tell the tale, which one, yes, that's a badass story to tell, but I don't think I want to go through the experience just to be able to tell the tale because traumatized.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. When I saw that news clipping on the wall of the little boy, I immediately thought about the little boy at, was that Disney World who was too close to the edge? Oh, if y'all didn't hear about that, that was like a few years ago. Who was too close? That's exactly what happened, Joe. He was too close to the edge at the part where it said, you know, no swimming. But of course, you know, people don't be listening to signs. They just be doing whatever they want to do. And they got him. And I don't know why people be playing with Earth like that, number one. Two, I don't know why they play. Seriously. And I don't know why they play with Florida. Like, it's a flat rule. I feel the same way just like about a lot of marshland places, period. Because not just Florida. Like, I think about that about Louisiana. I think about that, like, you know, South Carolina, North Carolina.
Chesapeake Bay.
Period. If there is a body of water, especially in Florida, if there is a body of water, there's most likely a gator in there. I feel the same way about Australia. Australia has all the next level Pokemon, so I know it's some wild shit.
They do. That is my note.
That part when they're like, we just have to cross the river so that we can get into the woods and do the hike. I was like, there's so many things in those woods that also want to kill you.
And Joe will always defend Australia because he lived in Australia for, was it a whole year? Or was it more than a year, Joe?
It was a year. Yeah.
But it's always, and like, I am not xenophobic, but I am very much, it's where I'm like, I just don't know if I want to go to Australia. Like, there are too many animals there that could kill me.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's xenophobic. It's realistic that they have a thriving wildlife, and that is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Next sentence. I may not be cut out to go to a place with a wildlife that thriving. Maybe that's not for me. Maybe I need to go ahead and watch National Geographic and get the little magazines and turn the page. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what I need to do. I need to open up the internet and learn about the animals like that. Because the spiders alone would make me not want to go. But I do want to go to Australia a little bit. But also, I need a real tour guide. Like, I need somebody who could survive alone and naked out in the woods. That's who I want to take me there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like we would all...
I feel like...
No, go ahead, Joe, because I'm going to yell it again. It rains spiders there. But go ahead.
It does rain spiders there. Yeah. Only in certain areas, though. Like, that's sort of the big thing. It's like, you just don't go to this part or this section and...
Dead. I'm sorry. I'm
don't
trying
to
process.
Don't look it up. You will never
want to look it up.
It will destroy you.
Listen to Joe.
I'm going to let Trace do it. I'm not looking it up. I want you to know that I don't give a fuck if it only rained spiders in 1 foot square area. How the fuck are the spiders coming from the sky? That's all right. Take me to the king. Come on, God. Come,
oh my God,
come get me, bro.
There's like farmland that's just covered in spider webs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But only in certain parts.
No, yeah. Right. No. I understand that. Oh my God. I think the wind just.
I feel like what we would do is, you know, in this situation for Rogue, there's that point, right, where everybody gets on the boat and there's another boat next to them and it's like 5 feet higher in the water and somebody goes, maybe we should get on that boat. And the answer is, yes, you get on that fucking boat. The boat that offers you greater safety.
But then you wouldn't have Radha Mitchell as your tour guide.
This is true. She's so good in this movie. I love her so much.
I'm so glad she gets to use her regular accent now. I was like, this is so nice. You can use your normal speaking voice. You ain't got to pretend no more.
Do you know that she had to train with a vocal coach to get her Australian accent back because she had done too many American productions? So she had like American English seeping into it. So it was like she had to train to get back she normally was.
Wow. Well, that's how language acquisition happens, man. Like literally you go and you lose. If you don't constantly use that, it'll fade out, you know? So I'm like, okay, I understand. But also, you know, y'all know who that is. I don't know who that lady is. So I was like, look at this nice tour guide lady.
Pitch Black. Pitch Black, man. Like, she's the main lady in Pitch Black.
Silent Hill,
Vin
too.
Diesel.
Silent Hill, yeah.
Oh,
That's what I thought of.
Mm-hmm. Are y'all dead ass
serious? Yeah. I feel like I was going to come in and be like, where has she been? Because she hasn't done...
She still works. It's just, like, she's not in as many high-profile things.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I feel like the first time I saw her was Pitch Black, because, spoilers for Pitch Black, everyone. But I got, like, really upset because she gets killed at the very end of the movie, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, I did watch Pitch Black. I would not have remembered that was her. You know how long ago I would have
been I just feel like Pitch Black was, like, I watched Pitch Black a lot as a kid, because it was on, like, USA all the time. Yes. So I would just, like, put it on, so because good. I was like, ooh, it's a space creature feature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to check out this last
Cat, have you seen it?
What y'all talking, Blue Back or the other
movie? Pitch Black, the one with Vin Diesel and Radha Mitchell.
I've seen bits and pieces of Pitch Black. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. I zoomed in because I just saw that she was in a movie called Blue Back and Eric Bana's in it. And I'm like, hey, I ain't seen you in a movie in a while. what's going on? And this was 2022, so that's why I was looking at y'all like, oh.
Okay. Me nodding like this, yeah. Like, oh yeah, I don't know who any of these people are. Oh, that's
you
so
know
nice.
Them when you see them. You're like, that's
the running joke. You'd be like, yeah, these people. I'm like, who is that? And I'm like, oh, I have to literally look at a picture and look at a list. I was like, oh yes, oh yeah, I did see them.
You're a face person. Terrible. You're just not a name person. I'm the same way.
I never knew that lady name. Y'all said Silent Hill. I'm like, damn, that is that lady. They do have the same face.
Ooh, and Michael Barton. Okay. One, I saw when he immediately came on the screen, I was like, I don't know your name, but I know you was the guy from Never Been Kissed. And how did you end up in this movie?
Yes. Joe's heard me, because Joe and I love Never Been Kissed, but like my mom loves Drew Barrymore, like rom-com. So I grew up like watching The Wedding Singer, Ever After, what did we just say? Never Been Kissed, constantly. But whenever he runs down those bleachers at the end to go kiss her on the baseball field, my mom would literally, like, as she would watch it, and then as soon as he got to Drew Barrymore, she would rewind it and start the scene over again. And so, but she would do this, like, 5 or 6 times. And so I just have Michael Vartan, like, imprinted in my brain, but also because of Alias, because I was an Alias.
You got his
watcher.
Run.
Okay.
That makes sense. Shout out to your mom. Because I appreciate the dedication. That's not like some shit I would do. Okay. Watch him coming in.
Never Been Kissed. Gonna write that down so I can also watch that too.
We should note that there's an element of that story that has not aged well.
It hasn't aged
particularly. And maybe never was.
But it's still really cute. Okay. It's still really cute. But yeah, it's if you are sensitive to maybe teacher student relations and you have a moralistic objection to depictions of it, you might have a problem with that movie.
I'm cool. Yeah, no, but as a teacher, absolutely not.
Yeah, but it's like Shakespeare, like the whole thing, it's underlaid with Shakespeare where, you know, you go in disguise and you fall in love with somebody and then you realize, oh no, you're actually an appropriate match because X. So in this case, it's, oh, I've fallen in love with a student, but also she's 25 years
but
old.
But he doesn't know that. That's why he just doesn't know that.
She's undercover.
I'm gonna think about watching it. A lot of these teen coming of age movies, the only one I really seen, y'all are gonna be like roll your eyes, but it's Can't Hardly Wait. That's the one.
That's a fantastic movie.
Okay. That's such a good one.
Yeah, that's like the only one, like that, Jawbreaker, and I think there's maybe like one more. I don't think I have watched The Breakfast Club all the way through. Those are just movies I have not put my eyeballs on.
See, that was rated R only for language. And so that Breakfast Club was on TBS like every fucking week. So, and my dad loved The Breakfast Club. So like I grew up watching the edited version of Breakfast Club like every week of my childhood. So I will never watch that movie again. I love it, but I have no need to watch it again ever.
Okay. I need to log
if you
want
to see it.
If you want to see it for shits and gigs, also, you're not really missing anything. I know there's a whole generation of people who just threw a slew of fucking tomatoes at me, and I don't give a fuck. But no, I caught like you're not blocking the tomatoes.
Honestly,
great. Because
I think what you should do is you should go look up all the teen movies that are spoofed in Not Another Teen Movie. Watch them and then watch. Yes. Don't watch Not Another Teen Movie first. That's the bad way to do it. Watch it afterwards.
I've already seen Not
That's
Another
fine.
Teen Movie.
And like, so you'll be familiar, but try to forget it and then go watch all those movies and then go watch Not Another Teen Movie because they do Never Been Kissed. They do Cruel Intentions. They do Can't Hardly Wait. Like they do all those
American movies. I've seen Cruel Intentions. Mm-hmm. I've seen Cruel Intentions, but not Wild Things. And I want to see Wild Things. I don't know if that has anything to do
it
with
it. It doesn't,
one,
but you should watch it.
I think the cover just looks
hot. Oh, Jazz. Oh, you've got so much joy coming your way.
I had the cover as a screensaver when I was a child. I don't know how. I don't know why I had two girls in the water like that. I don't know what it was. I was like, they're cute. Let me put this as a screensaver. Now, this is probably inappropriate, but I didn't know it was from that movie. Until I later saw it. I was like, oh.
I guess. Okay. I know that they are in high school, but I don't consider Wild Things a high school movie.
Not really.
No.
Probably not. No, it's probably grown.
Very.
But yes. I love how we sidetracked all this. It's probably because of the actors. This is a chaos train, and they know, because last time we was talking about Crank That Music, so they can live. They will be okay. All right? We're not cranking that Lion King this week, okay? We will not.
I already did it on the way home. let me know when you're watching 10 Things I Hate About You, because I will always show up for that one.
Yeah. So
Clueless. I've never seen it. Because what they did in the 90s was...
Clueless is my good girl. I own
all
her.
Joe can attest this, but most of those 90s teen movies are adaptations of a Shakespeare play or famous literature.
Shakespearean
play. So Clueless is Jane Austen's Emma. You know, 10 Things I Hate About You is Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
So...
And Never Been Kissed is Ooh, shoot.
Wait, which one?
Now I can't remember. I just covered it.
Which one?
Never Been Kissed is...
It's not Pygmalion, is it? Because Pygmalion's like My Fair Lady. No. But like Cruel Intentions is based on Dangerous Liaisons. So like that's not even an original concept.
Yep. Ooh.
What?
Anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, now we're about to crank that crocodile because this man, this tourist dude hopped on the plane to the Greyhound. He got this chopper suit on in the heat. He done walked us to the Australian bodega. Yes, I called it Australian bodega. Yep. He done pulled up. Yep. He done got a fly in his coffee because it's surf. First of all, I know y'all said this movie's not funny, but because I am a childish person, I laughed several times. And the fly was the first one because how the fuck you gonna put a fly in my drink? Because I said the service is bad. You know the fucking service bad. That's not your fault or my fault. It's fucking T-Mobile fault. Go give me a fly. Dirty motherfucker. Man.
Do we think the Can You Hear Me Now joke was like old by 2007? Because I was very much like, oh wow, we're doing this.
It might have still been relevant. Okay.
It was relevant in 2007, but when I heard it, I was like, oh God, not that one. But they did that commercial up until after. Like, it was definitely like 2010. Yeah. They were still like, can you hear me now?
I mean, I do that in real life. So it's always going to be, can y'all hear me? Like, I've been moving around and everything. So it was... I said, damn, the service in there is shaky. But that also was a trope and immediate red flag. I knew because his phone wasn't working at the service, whatever was about to happen next, somebody's phone wasn't going to work.
Yeah, you ain't using that phone. That one bit.
But also, no satellite phone even? Like, what are we doing?
Like, or a few radios. I'm sorry.
Radios!
Like, you know the phone don't work. You know we about to get on this crocodile tour. Now, I know some supplies went into the water later after they, we go further. Yeah. But it was only, like, one radio. I'm like, sis, you should have had a walkie on tuck. Like, you should have had the walkie on you. But I guess. I mean, I wouldn't have been this line of work. Right?
Because, of course, normally they would never go that far because it's sacred ground.
Yeah, and someone needed help. And I'm sorry. Fuck them. Not fuck them, but... You know, when there's emergency, you don't call me. You call 911. Do I look like a first responder to you? You're on a tour bus.
But that is the rule. And that's why I know now if I'm videotaping on a tour and I see a flare, I'm not saying anything.
Self-preservation.
Yeah. I'm sorry, people that wandered out to, like, Crocodile Land. But, like, no, you're not going to get saved by me.
Think of how many horror films we wouldn't have if people didn't seek out a rescue, right? Like, this is the same premise as Alien.
No, I mean, I think thing I like about this movie is I think all these characters feel very... Like, you know, I've shown this movie to a lot of people, and I've had some people tell me it's really boring because it gets off to a slow start. The crocodile has less than 6 minutes of screen time. Half of the kills are off screen. It does take a while for the croc to even show up. All these things I'm listing, none of these are negatives to me because I think the film still works.
I was going
to
say, these are all bullshit, but okay.
It builds tension before you even see the
croc. If people are, I think when people hear killer crocodile movie, they have an idea of a crocodile slasher in their mind, and that's not what this is.
Right, they want a set piece every 6 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. Every time y'all say set piece, and I know set piece could be anything, but when I think set piece, I imagine the crocodile going through this big ass gothic castle because they done built this extravagant set piece, and the crocodile is chasing somebody through these.
Wait, does he have a top hat and a cane?
He should have one. And a monocle.
I mean, what's the song that plays over the credits? Never smile at a crocodile. I love that.
He's walking down the fucking castle like this. We should have paid for this. The studio's gonna cut that. But it's very realistic. It's like a situation you can end up in. Just like what we talked about, Joe talked about Alien, where you get the distress call and you have a rule where you have to take care of it. And because if this wasn't the rule, the customer is always right. They would have argued her ass down. And to be fair, even if she would have said that's the rule, if it was me and my homeboys, I don't know. We might have jumped you. I might have jumped you and turned the boat around. You're not taking me. And when we went to Atlanta, you can go back. Okay, I'm back where I need to be. You're not, and you're gonna make me miss my bus? You're gonna leave me a Pokemon Land?
To be fair, I don't think anyone would have ever expected that there was gonna be a crocodile big enough to flip a fucking boat.
It's a big deal.
It didn't need to be that big. It didn't need to be that big. It could have been a crocodile half the size. The crocodile today was jangling that feet, that little meat over. No, thank you. That was enough. I'm like, if it's a distress signal, someone else is in trouble. That means greater danger is ahead. Y'all been doing tours all goddamn day. How did they get up there? Who the fuck is that? And then they over in the caves where y'all say it's sacred ground, we're not supposed to go. Before you went there, you should have radioed in, like, when the radio wasn't working, I would have went a little further the other way and radioed first. So one, they know I'm out here. So if I don't come back, they can at minimum come looking for me. Cause I get it. These are not employees. These are fucking tourists. That's like if I'm on a bus and you decide to be a first responder and we all on the bus trying to go to New York. Let me adjust my neck pillow. What are we doing?
Okay, so you touched on something that I immediately noticed. Also, because I know it's a movie and I gotta suspend my disbelief, but no, I can't fucking do it. So you talked about how they were late. I feel like it took a long time for the search and rescue crew to like pop up on the screen. I'm sure that was intentional, but I was just like, hey, if I'm an employee, and we've all, like, whether you've gone on some sort of excursion or read about some sort of excursion, if you're not back at a certain time, they're coming to look for you. So I was
I think that's the thing, is that they were nowhere near where they were supposed to be on this thing. So I think it would have taken, that's why it took them so long, because they probably searched the expected places first. And then, I even wonder if they only found them because of the people that made it to shore.
Who ran north, yep.
Yeah.
Because I was just sitting like y'all not even just like casually in the water. I have questions. Nothing floated. But you know what? That was the best part. As many questions that I have, I'm still just watching like, this is chaotic here.
I didn't have as many questions because, again, after watching, I'm like, no, this is so real. That's why it's done so well, because, no, this makes sense why his phone don't work. He don't got his luggage. He don't got his laptop. They don't have this. They got stranded. They followed the rules. Everyone did give pushback. It's not like everybody was like, okay. They were like, all right. Because, again, I keep forgetting that I know that me and Kat are fire signs, right? And I'm going to give pushback. Some people usually don't do that. People like, we're going to do this. And people are usually like, all right.
I can't do that.
Fine. Yep.
I don't like conflict. I will just go with the flow. Yeah. Unless I like, exactly. I don't know, something really bad has happened and I'm like, nope, can't do it. But no, I'll just go with the flow.
I am I won't say aggressive, but I will change the flow. I'm not doing this, bro. Give me one of them floaties. Give me a survival raft. I will raft my ass to the next place. Y'all go get them. Or I would have fought her. You think you had to beat my ass. You had to knock me out and I would have had to wake up on a fucking island with everybody else. I would have got ate first.
I would have tried to be eating first on purpose because I'm not doing this.
Well, all you gotta do is grab your camera, just barely step into the water, and have everyone else turn around. That's and then it. You'll be gone in like 2 seconds.
And you know what? I actually like that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know, like, Trace, you said that some people were a little fussy because there was some, a lot of the kills happened off camera. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I was a fan of it. I wasn't upset, especially with the first kill. Because at first I was like, did I go to sleep? I didn't go to sleep that fast.
I was really glad it was that character because I kept getting him confused with the other one who gets his arm bitten off later. And I was like, okay, good. One of these men is gone.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Damn. And I also was like, well, that was fun. I know that fun is a word, but I was like, oh, look, he just threw him in the air like a little snake. Oh, he like a little buoy. Okay, it's over. Like, that was like, okay, that was a cool little kill. And then you know what? Stark opposite of we literally just went from we all turned our backs, we looked back, one of us weren't here. Just like y'all got on the call, and I said, oh, shit, it's a bunch of people. That was fast. But like, and now from there to we see somebody getting tossed into the water, their arm is out. We see the death spin. I like that they incorporated actual things that animals are doing. I love the
death spin. Like that, I was like, good, good. Because that's like the one thing I know about crocodiles.
And I also want to point out that we see how dangerous the crocodile is. Now, I know that it seems boring, but maybe not because people who watch National Geographic and are into that are going to be into the fact that this goddamn crocodile took down a fucking buffalo. Mm-hmm. Like, quick. The other buffaloes ain't even helped. They ain't even helped their dog out. They ran off. I know. And he was under the water within like a couple seconds. So if a buffalo can be pulled under, it's nothing to pull a human under. It's like eating a goldfish snack. Like, of course they went under without anything, because, and I also learned from this movie, they can swim without making no ripples, so they can see at night. I'm like, hey, help. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that opening because, I mean, to me, that's very clearly a, okay, we're going to give the people what they want, and then we're not going to show them the croc for a little while because we need to introduce the characters,
like the Jaws all the approach, conflict, right? And that, like, kind of stuff. That's nothing new.
It's what we do. Yeah, we just come to expect it. But I think that's a great opening because, yeah, you know, you don't think something as big as a water buffalo is going to go down so easily, and this thing is just,
yeah,
like, into the water and off we go.
Listen. And there goes my edges, because that's how fucking fast everything turned out. I'm so serious, y'all. I was like, oh.
And there go my edges. You were right, though. I was like, once that crocodile took that buffalo under, I was like, I don't care who comes in contact. You're done. You're toast. Like, like when the first person got ate up, and it was sad, too. Because, okay, first of all, they built, like y'all talking about, the characters. And I didn't expect the characters to be, because the first time I watched this, I didn't remember the characters like that. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, the husband who bought the two tickets to dump his wife ashes. And also, I'm like, y'all had to have a very specific wish for your ashes to be dumped all the way out here with these crocodiles. Like, I would be pissed in the afterlife if you dump my ashes out here with all these motherfucking vicious-ass crocodiles. But maybe, you know, I was like, maybe they explored that together. Maybe that's a special spot for them. I don't know. Maybe his wife liked crocodiles. I don't know. But I was like, okay, that's special. You see the wife docking. They got the little old school camera. Everybody had the little jank. You got the guy with the big camera. He's like, yeah, my camera's bigger than yours. Fuck yours. Look at my shit. I'm like, it's always one of those.
He's
who has to put their
too.
Dick on the table.
He's like a sex offender written all over him. Like, why do you need such a powerful camera? Why are you talking to the young girl?
Something's lacking.
I'm scared. Mm-mm-mm. I'm scared. Can we talk about Neil and his friend and how I was actually ready for them to meet their demise? Yeah. Because mm-hmm. Kate is at work.
Yeah, it's wild watching this, too.
No, it's rude.
Sam Worthington, this is like right before America was really trying to make him famous. Because I feel like it was...
Yeah.
Well, I got it was Terminator, and then there were like it was Avatar, and then something else. It was like we could not escape Sam Worthington.
He's in those Greek myth ones.
Oh, Clash of the Titans.
Percy
right?
Jackson.
Oh, Wrath of the Clash Titans. Of the Titans. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's one of those things where I think watching this, I always forget that he dies like halfway through this movie. But yes, ready mm-hmm. for them to die. They were
because he's the hero. Goodbye.
Bye.
He tried to trick us.
Yeah, whatever history. I don't care. First of all, never pull up on me on my fucking job. Don't so pull up on me while I'm making my money.
Like, not even, like, pull up on her. Like, he's mooning them. That's so rude.
I know, right? Mia Wasikowska is on that boat. She's, like, 17 years old. There are minors on this boat, sir.
Mm-hmm. Sex offender, get him. Get him. Get him. Take his ass to jail. I'm sorry. Take him to jail. Him and his friend, Belchin. Also, the girl who was smoking a cigarette.
Oh, I loved her. Right. She was my favorite. So, I wanted more from her.
Her quiet reactions to things were, because when he was burping and shit, she was like, hey. I was like, not you thinking he cute.
She was turned on.
Girl.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why I was like, this is funny. I'm like, nobody else is like, it's just me giggling. Like, so like, you can see her like, I'm kind of into this. I'm trying to holla. Mm-hmm. All right. But also they seem like maybe a match for each other. Maybe that's something they'd be into.
I see the vision. I once again was more so like, she's at work. The people on the boat are like, girl, we didn't pay for this. Get the mm-hmm. fuck off the boat. And I'm just like, and they're not reading. I was ready for everyone to throw hands on this boat. It was giving like a Steve Wilkos session. And I was sitting there like, yeah, so we about to fight. Like, could you imagine if they just broke out into a brawl on this boat while she's on the clock?
Well, actually.
With the clock. And then the boat.
That would have actually been a really cool, if like they did get in a fight. And Sam Worthington's partner got like pushed off. But as he was falling off the boat, he just like fell into the mouth of the crocodile.
Wonderful.
That's what you get for showing up on her job acting stank. And then when they needed help, would you clearly see they need actual help? Like, it's not just this girl you got, like, you mad because she ain't trying to holler at you, which is fucking weird. Maybe she would want to holler at you if you would be nice to her other than when you trying to talk to her. Maybe you just fucking help her, you can win some goddamn brownie points, you asshole. But no, you see people in danger and want to drive off and giggle. Maybe that's why she don't want to fuck you, dummy. But anyway...
But yeah, wait, so you folks never come back around on Neil? Because I feel like the movie bends over backwards to be like, oh, okay, you thought he was an asshole, but actually he's a pretty decent guy, so that we can then kill him and you feel something. The faces I'm seeing are no.
I wanted him to die.
He's still a dickhead. He just was in danger. That's the only reason he decided to help at first. He was in danger. He got me off the island,
too. I don't think he's, like, as horrible when he decides to help them. But, yeah, it's very much... Well, he's only helping them because he's also stuck in this situation. And, honestly, it's a thing for me where it's, it really is fucking with someone while they're working. Like, that really is kind of, like...
Yeah.
That's crossing a line for me.
It's not cool. Mm-hmm.
Even if look I was at us
consummate professionals. I know. We're like, don't come for me at my job. This is my work. This is my profession.
No, I'm dead ass. It's not even about the profession. This is where I get my check. You're playing with my money.
Yes, 100%. Right. You're playing.
And I'm going to beat your ass. Not in this economy, love. Like, I will whoop your ass, everybody who loves me.
Because any of these people could complain, and it would come down on her. Oh, even though it wasn't her fault, it's still, like, her person that she knows. So she could get fired for this, theoretically.
Oh, 100%.
They're definitely leaving feedback in the comments.
Mm-hmm. They're yelping.
Somebody put their foot on the boat. A croc that knocked over the boat. Now we stuck on an island. This is Zero giving stars. That Alaska show. Baby, like, you have to do, like, you got to do scared, look at the scared, that scared straight. When you try to stay alive in the forest and you just try to be alive. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'm just like, this is terrible.
If I get out of here, I'm leaving the worst Yelp review.
First of all, I'm sending a Yelp review from the afterlife. Bitch, I'm giving you 0 stars from death because you should have dropped all us off first since it was only a mile up. You should have dropped us off and then went and checked on that shit. Fuck you. You put us all in danger.
Well, you know what, though? She got a punishment. She was, like, almost killed by a crocodile and brought into its tree cave.
Truly.
Yes.
I mean, okay. Okay. But also, like, I'm still leaning in because they tried to have her sacrifice her dog.
Oh.
And everyone has already, several people have lost loved ones. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm not sacrificing my dog. And I'm like, bitch. I know there are people out there who are ready to fight me, but I want you to know, and Jazz knows,
you would have killed that dog.
We would have got the scrap in that day. That's right.
Yeah.
Bitch, get your fucking dog right on over here right now. No. Hold her down.
And okay, Kat so this
no,
is
loves
see
dogs,
ya.
But no, I mean, see ya. I'm glad he found those geese because your dog was up next.
But I do like about that scene, though, is that it's not one of the men who tells her, like, you need to stop being selfish and you need to sacrifice a dog. It's the cancer mom. Mm-hmm. She's the one that's like, I've got very limited time left on this earth.
I'm sacrificing something right now.
Yeah, my husband is already dead. So you know what? You can lose your dog. I'm telling you right now, I have my two dogs right here in their crates, and I will never. I would sacrifice myself before my dogs. I couldn't do it. I could not do it.
I do think it's funny, though. Like, the last time we were here, we're talking about Drag Me to Hell. We had such an extended conversation about sacrificing the kitten. And then pull up on this movie. Oh, we're maybe sacrificing a dog. But I feel like people don't have a stronger reaction to this.
Let me say this. I would never sacrifice my own dogs. But would I come down on someone in this movie for sacrificing a dog? No. Just like I don't come down on that girl in Drag Me to Hell for sacrificing her cat to stop herself from going to hell.
Listen, and also, I know people love animals. I know. And you know what? When you go down Snake Way and they turn the cameras around, they be like, you sacrifice this dog. What you got to say for yourself? You got to sit in purgatory. What the fuck works? Okay.
Surprise!
Party at Jazz's house.
Yes, celebrating the animal sacrifices.
Y'all, we just saw, like, fireworks. I don't know what I did, but we have fireworks.
That was amazing.
Never seen that shit before in my life.
No, I think this happened when we were recording with Blurdy Massacre, and I was celebrate!
Did you say something to make that happen?
I don't know.
It was
I did
celebrate,
this
and they threw their hands up.
Oh, because I did like this? It's not going to do it again.
Celebrate. Woo. Oh, damn.
It's not gonna do it. Yeah. And everyone's looking like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? It was
once
cool. Okay.
It was just for us. It was just for us.
This is amazing.
And appropriate.
But also, fuck that dog. And not because I fuck dogs. All right. They're throwing tomatoes at me right now.
I'm standing.
Listen, when it comes to yourself, or like, I understand that some people are going to put dogs before themselves. I'm not that person.
Well,
you know, shout out to you.
I think
you
at the end of the day, I think what this comes down to for me is the person who owns the animal is the only person that can
to make the decision.
I will sacrifice this animal. Because, there's something else, in Zombievers, when the asshole guy just throws the dog in the water to distract them.
Yes.
Like, no. It's my dog. I make the choice, or I don't make the choice.
Right.
Okay, that's fair. And I just thought about Zombievers and I unlocked a memory because I've seen that movie and that was a way better movie than I expected.
Zombievers is great.
If y'all have not seen Zombievers, it's
very
good.
Like, genuinely good. Good. Not just like, oh, it's so bad, it's good.
No, it's good. I was like, damn, wait a minute. How come I haven't seen this before?
Why is this good?
But I think of it like me and Kat, what was it, one of those Saw movies where the girl was like, I'm not going to sacrifice myself, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to inject the needle. And the motherfucker came in and put all the needles in her and was like, fuck it.
Two.
I don't know.
He throws her in the pit.
That's the needle pit. No, there's another one where there's another scene
later. Yeah.
It's a different movie. It's a completely different Saw movie. Okay. I'm not going to tell y'all which one, because if you have not seen Saw, go, you got to watch all of them and figure out which one it is. It's a later one.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. And he was like, girl, basically, fuck this, and put the needles in. I said, well, you took too long.
So. Yeah. That's great. And I mean, sometimes we're going to have to make bad choices to survive. Like, his house, they made a fucking, and when you're in such a bad decision, like, bad situation, you cannot make good choices and live. So, are you going to make a bad choice and live, or are you gonna do the good thing and die?
Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing here? That's why I'm like, you know what? I might have to do the bad thing and live and see if I can repent later, depending on how bad. Cannibalism, no. I'm not eating.
Oh, I'll do that. That's fine. But if they're dead and their butts are out there, like,
if they're already dead, I'll eat them. Yeah.
Their butts. That's where you get the most meat.
They, I'm not gonna kill them to eat.
That's what happens in Alive. They cut the butt meat. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And The Terror, season 1.
Also
once again. No.
It's fine. If I'm going to die...
We are not eating... Kat said she going to haunt me. I wouldn't eat her, but Kat said, bitch, if you try to eat me, I'm going to be the worst poltergeist you motherfuckers ever seen.
That's good. That just means the friendship continues, but you've survived.
No.
No. Okay.
You have my permission. If we are trapped in the mountains and like stranded and I die and you are starving, you have permission to eat my body. Just like say a blessing before.
I'm Yellow Jackets jacking your ass all the way until my stomach is full.
Yeah, 100%.
Shout out to y'all. Because I will.
Well, y'all gonna be fooled because I'm gonna die next.
I will always, I'll always be a part of you. Quite literally. It's symbolic.
There we go.
Oh, right. No.
Okay, so question then. Like, were you ever expecting Cancer Mom to volunteer since she's already on the way to dying? Because I remember thinking, oh, that's the whole reason this character is here. If we don't sacrifice the dog, then Mom is going to be the one to say, oh, well, I'll do it to save my daughter.
I didn't think about that, but I'm actually glad the movie doesn't do that, because now that you're saying that, that does feel like the obvious route for that character to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, I didn't think she was going to do it, though. With her attitude. Okay. You know, there are the moms who do that, but she gave the mom that will call for the manager. So I don't think she would have.
Whiny bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she would have. She would have told somebody else to do it. It's let somebody lesser, or somebody who was like criminal, or let that other guy who was not already dead, like, be like, no, you get in the water because I'm better.
Let's talk about, because I think the two major set pieces in this film are the rope scene and the climax. And that, I'm telling you right now, if I was behind her and that bitch stopped halfway that rope, I would have been throwing shit at her. Like, just knock her off.
Yeah. I'm with you, Trace. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Every time I watch it, I get a visceral, like, angry reaction.
Why would she have gone first? Why send her first?
Also, now you don't know who's gonna stop.
You don't know who's
gonna
freeze.
Sure, but she.
Yeah, and this is not the first
time.
But
if I had to guess one of these people that was gonna stop halfway through, it would have been her.
Okay. A lot did happen to her. A lot happened to her in a short amount of time.
Actually, but that man was stupid though, because that man really shouldn't have got on the rope.
Oh,
yes,
sure.
And then they were telling, like, it was literally a fight broke out. Like, they had to fight to stop them, because he gonna send the girl and get on the rope. So three of y'all are now on the rope, and they told you it wasn't going to hold. So what made you think that you getting on was gonna make the situation better? I know that people panic and they get angry and they start to, you know, make decisions that don't make the most sense. They're probably hot, they're probably hungry, they're probably tired, everyone's scared. Now you're in the water. And honestly, Trace, I would have did you one better. I would have went ahead and cut that rope and let that hoe drop right into the water. And while her ass was going, we would have been swimming to the other side of the land. Fuck you, bitch. You shouldn't have stopped. We could have all got across. You try to... we're all at risk.
Honestly,
I'm sorry.
I have less sympathy for that woman than I do for Sam Worthington and his shitty-ass partner.
Wow.
More I mad say, at her. Though. Because that scene pisses me off. But I think that's where
I think that means it's doing its job. Yeah. Like, and the other reason I like that scene, I mean, A, it's always longer than I remember. So I always think it's like kind of short and then it goes on forever and you just keep waiting and waiting. But I love how subversive it is, or how rather it subverts my expectations, because I keep waiting, because we've talked about how the crocs can propel themselves out of the water. So you're waiting for it to come and grab somebody, particularly when it starts to break. And the fact that we don't do that is so satisfying
and
to me.
Ticking clock, right? Because we got to wait. We're waiting for this tide to come up. And there's just one insert shot where you can see the water go up like a centimeter. And it's like,
oh, no, there's like 10 insert shots. Like, you keep going back to the water level rising.
Because when it gets dark, it's like, wait a minute, that island was bigger than that. That mm-hmm. island, that was like, okay, y'all, the island's the size of a living room. And I'm scared. There's one
really good overhead shot whenever they're using the bait and Radha Mitchell is trying to swim across. And you can see, I wanted more overhead shots because I just think that's just a great way to like show the whole scene. But yeah, oh, it's so tense. I love it.
Listen, like, I'm like, y'all really got the tension. Like, you killed someone. It's been a while since anybody had died at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm sitting here. The rope got me tense. They hanging. The rope breaks. They're in the water and their feet are kicking. You see them from beneath. I'm like, oh, somebody's about to get snatched down like Jaws right now.
Every single death. Yeah, because the one guy disappeared. So he died off screen. Sam Worthington's partner dies off screen. We don't see him get taken. And then Sam Worthington himself, even, I mean, we know he dies because we see the crocodile, but we don't see him die either. So this is the first time that we actually see the crocodile kill someone.
Right.
Actually, the only time, right? Because there's nothing after that.
It's this time, and then the croc grabs Radha Mitchell, and that's it. Oh, nobody else dies.
It kills the dog, I guess, which I had to freeze frame it because it's really, like, I'm sure it's a CGI dog because we're in a CGI crocodile, but, like, you can see the dog's, like mushed up face, like, hanging out of the crocodile's mouth. Ooh, it's sad.
No, that poor dog. And I did say I would sacrifice that dog, but I wouldn't have been like, here, crocodile. Like, I wouldn't have been happy about it. Yeah. I would have been, like, joyfully, gleefully, like, here. I would have been fucking conflicted, but also survival mode.
See ya.
Now, I will say that when he gets bitten and snatched out, because I'm already pissed at him for getting on the rope. I'm mad at the bitch for not moving, right? The little girl, it's not her fault. They telling her to go. Everything's happening. Not mad at her. The daddy, talk about some, I'm sorry, after you get out the water and you saw somebody else got ate the fuck up and everybody looking at you and mad. I'm sorry. I'm surprised I didn't stomp your ass out. I would have stomped him out and let the tide take him.
I will say the first time I saw this, I was disappointed only because that death is in the trailer for this movie. So again, like, you're like, okay, cool. Like, that's one example of a death, but that is quite literally the goriest death in the film. But if you watch the trailer is not very good for this. And I will just bring this up because this movie was supposed to come out in February of 2007, and the Weinstein Company shelved it for a year and then dumped it in 10 theaters in, like, April of 2008. I remember because I heard about this when I was in college, and yeah, it was horribly treated. And I tweeted about this to bitch about it, and the director himself actually replied to me, Greg McLean, and he said, this was because I knew it was Dimension, and I was like, I wonder if it was the Weinsteins. I wonder if the Weinsteins fucked him on this. And
it's always the Weinsteins.
His reply to me goes, Harvey and Bob buried the film as revenge because I had final cut approval, and they were powerless to change that. Petty, but karma's a bitch. So, basically, they wanted him to change things in the movie, but he wouldn't do it because he had final cut approval. And they said, fine, we're shoving your movie for a year and dumping it in 10 theaters later.
Yeah. And this movie makes $0. Oh, yeah, it made no money. This movie is a colossal failure.
Mm-hmm. And that's wild because 2007 was a time, like, that I was like a junior, senior high school year, like 2007, 2008. So I was in the theater, had my little job. You know, you can get on the bus and go to the theater. And me and my mom was still, you know, going to the movie. So I'm like, I would have told my mama to take me to see this big stupid ass croc movie. And I would have thought it was stupid based on the trailer, but it wouldn't have been stupid once you saw it. Because again, like you were talking about, Trace, people are expecting a crocodile slasher. Yeah, they're expecting the animal to come up and just eat a whole bunch of people. We supposed to see it, a bunch of jaws, and that's it. Versus, no, this is a survival movie. And it's very tense. And a lot of the tension is caused by people arguing, not make it. And you see, like, shit in the background. Like, sometimes they're arguing. I'm like, did something move?
Did the water
move?
Okay. Well, don't forget, too, this is the director of Wolf Creek. So, like, internationally renowned director. You've even got, what is his name? John Jarek coming back for this movie. Although, I never remember it's him because he's wearing a prosthetic belly. It's the guy who's dumping his wife's ashes. Mm-hmm. That's the killer from Wolf Creek.
Yeah, he's like a jolly, like, happy character in this movie. It's wild.
Okay, I would have, let me tell y'all something. I've seen Wolf Creek 1 and 2. I would have never guessed, would have never guessed. Mm-hmm. And I like those movies because Australian movies are,
Wolf Creek. They go hard.
Did y'all notice?
There's two,
and then there's a TV show. Yep. But the teenage girl in it is Mia Wasikowska from, like, Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland movies and Stoker and, like, a bunch of other shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look at that.
You guys. There's a Wolf Creek 3.
Wait, hold, please. As I type on the computer, let me put my fake.
I mean,
it's
somebody, whether they're talking about it or somebody that made, I don't know if this is a real fake line.
Oh, 2024. AI thing.
Yeah. It's,
okay, so it could possibly be coming out because we don't know. This is on Medium.
No, I'm looking right now. It says Wolf Creek 3 is set to be released with the tagline, "There will be blood." It was delayed because of COVID-19. Oh, but McLean's not going to direct it. McLean's going to produce it. And it's a woman director.
Yeah.
Oh. I would like to see it. I mean, Wolf Creek 1 and 2 are good. They're both good. So, I mean, I'm definitely...
The last update we have is April of 2022 that says Wolf Creek 3 is definitely happening. Mm. Director Rochelle Wiggins assures.
Okay.
Okay. Hmm.
Fingers crossed. We're waiting. Because we're outside. The studios will say, fuck your movie. And they're not even shelving a hose. They just like, we're going to throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Middle finger. I'm like, hey,
tax write-off.
Well, you just going to incinerate it? That should be illegal. I feel like that honestly, should be illegal.
Except it's like the exact opposite. It's like very, very legal.
Very, very legal. That's the problem.
Wild.
Oh my God. Mm-mm-mm. Well, this crocodile is, he needs to be arrested as well. So they need to go ahead and lock. I'm not playing. I want some kind of animal police to come get him. Like, have y'all seen him? He's snatching people up. I know that they're in his territory, and that's why he's attacking all of them. Mm-hmm. But after a certain point, ain't you tired, bro?
I think that's what I like.
I'm like, are you even eating these people, or are you just fucking with them?
He has to be full. He can't be.
I actually do like that. Again, like the reason we don't have a huge body count in this movie because it's not a crocodile slasher. Because McLean was going for realism with this, and I like that we don't go the Jaws route. Just like, oh yeah, it's just a killer crocodile. No, it's a very real reason of they're in his territory. Mm-hmm. Like they tell you it 1,000 times in this movie. So I love that this feels like something that could actually happen to you.
Well, and it to me, I mean, particularly on this rewatch, there's a really interesting, like, indigenous component where, like, they're not supposed to go into this area because it's sacred to the indigenous people in Australia. And then they specifically say, oh, and also the croc is very possessive. Like, it feels threatened when people move into a space. And I was like, oh, this movie's, like, secretly coded about colonialism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm. I mean, y'all shouldn't have took y'all ass out there. And that's why I said, fuck them flares. Because you came here on that savior shit, trying to come on some fucking white horse and got your ass bit up. All right? You should have went and back and got some help. You are not equipped with that little ass boat. Where the other boat at? Suzanne? I think that's the name of the boat. Go get the other boat first. Maybe y'all need to tag team it up. And also, again, drop the tourists off first.
I don't know why we didn't do that. I don't know. Like, I just keep thinking about me being on the boat and somebody going, we're going to go rescue somebody. I'm like, I don't really know.
No, because I think the idea is, though, I mean, I think you have to assume when you see a flare of the worst possible scenario. Yeah. You have to assume that someone could be literally dying. Yeah. And so, like, every second counts. I think that is the mentality I'm choosing to go with.
I get it.
But
I'm also like,
God working on
your walkie's not working. Well, I'm thinking about the safety reasons. Okay, me on the boat. Hey, your walkie's not working. This person doesn't know where you are. So we all just about to be stuck out here together. Your boat's pretty full. It's not new. You can't really pinpoint where this stuff is coming from. Once again, your walkie's not working. So if we, person who is not equipped to be putting out this fucking fire, goes to help the people, what happens to us? The cell phone's not working. Y'all made a really good point. There's not any, like... This is the worst boating company on earth, okay? Because they don't even have, like, a motherfucking, like computer phone to communicate outside, like a satellite phone. They don't even have that. And that's wild to me that you have a rinky-dink walkie-talkie and no satellite phone, and we supposed to go help somebody? You're not equipped. You are not a mandated reporter. Go home.
Also, speaking of which, I'm not CPI certified anymore, but... The first thing they tell you is, if it's not safe, you cannot go and help nobody. So you can't even see if it, every second counts, but you count too. Because again, y'all went up there, whoever shot them flares, y'all didn't really, you didn't help. You would have got better help if you would have got help somewhere else.
Look what happened. Probably. They all got traded.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm always surprised when I watch this movie at how many people actually live, though. Like, I keep expecting that half of the people on this boat are going to die. And it's like, no, I think like two or three of them but most of them get out alive.
I even had someone tell me that they were disappointed that Rod I. Mitchell lives because they thought it felt like a studio note to be like, oh, we have to have a happier ending. And I was like, no, okay. that isn't. But I think my only gripe is I do kind of hate that she becomes a damsel in distress in the climax. But
yeah.
But I get why, because it's Michael Vartan's journeys, not hers. And so it's about him overcoming his fear of nature. So I get that, and I get why she's in this position. I just wish there was a different way to do that without having her be a victim.
It's weird, though. In the doc, they talk about his character because, you know, obviously all the things we've said where he's not prepared, you know, he's wearing all the wrong clothes, he's obviously afraid of nature and animals and all this kind of stuff. And they said, oh, we thought it'd be really interesting to then make him the hero because he seems like the one who's the least prepared to do it. And I was like, is anyone surprised when he becomes the hero at the end of this movie?
But then I'm thinking,
it's literally a hero's arc. Well, we've all seen it before.
But then I'm like, okay, well, what if you reverse the roles, right? So what if the tour guide was a man and what if the reporter was a woman? But then I feel like you'd run the danger of having the woman be like a shrill, like, ew, nature type character. And I'm just kind of like, but that journey would be more interesting to me to watch a woman overcome that and, like, you know, kill a crocodile than Michael Vartan. But I mean, again, I'm just speculating here.
It's frustrating to me because Rada Mitchell seems like her character seems so on top of everything. So, you know, obviously she's not in a position to save herself because she's really bitten the fuck up. But at the same time, you're just like, oh, I would have liked to have seen her do a bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she's from there. Like, she seems like the one who knows the most about the crocodile.
But then maybe that's the idea too, right? Like, hey, even a local isn't really equipped for this shit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were never going to survive.
Nobody.
No, nobody. Nobody said
they just get saved by a buffalo.
I'm honestly shocked that she lived.
Yeah. But she's real close to dying, though. Like, she, even at the end, she's like, she can barely speak when she, when he's like looking at her on that life flight stretcher.
I'm so glad, though, that we don't force a romance.
Yes, that 100%.
Oh, yes, thank goodness.
Yeah, this just feels
very. It felt like it for 2 seconds, though. Mm-hmm. Now it does, but on the boat for like 2 seconds, like, kind of gave like, oh, I'm the worker and you're looking at me. But also, I don't know if that was really what's going on, but I'm used to Michael Vartan doing stuff like that. So maybe that was me also like projecting.
But a lesser movie would have pushed a romance out more front and center when in real life, no one gives a shit because you're about to get killed by a crocodile. We don't have time for that shit. Deal with it after the credits roll.
Yeah. No one is falling in love in this situation. Like, absolutely not. We're all musty. We're all tired. I'm sure most of the people have peed on themselves. Like, nobody is trying to... Nobody's out here looking for love, okay? I don't know if people saw God is a Bullet. Yeah, I'm still talking about that movie because I saw it. And the forced romance and that. I literally sucked my teeth out loud at the end. So I already don't like romance like that. I don't like love stories. There are very few love stories that I'm gonna watch for the love story. I didn't need no love story. It was nice that he was a human and saw her ass was trapped, and I'm like, I'm gonna help you because I see you. I'm gonna try to, you know, help your ass out because that's what a good human should do. And also, I'm already fucking down here, and this crocodile's trying to beat our ass, and now we have a fight between me and a crocodile in a cave. Not me. That guy, because I wouldn't be down there. But I was like, wow, I didn't know. I figured that once the crocodile had bit the stick and it got sharp somehow, I was like, oh, he's definitely going to use. That's coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but that's coming back.
And it looks so good when he like jabs it through and it goes right through the thing's like cheek there. I mean, presumably brain.
Oh, no, I think it goes like up the roof of its mouth.
Through the roof of the mouth?
Because I'm looking at the chance to say this. I will say, like, love Frank Tataz's score for this movie, specifically in that cave climax. It's the only part of the soundtrack that I actually own because I bought, like, it's like The Croc part one, part two, part three, The Attack part one, part two, part three. But as someone who doesn't have is not good at language when it comes to music, I just want to say this. Twitter user Brooks Leiby helped explain why the score works so well in the final act. And I'm just going to read this because I had to look up some of these terms because I had no idea what they meant. Because, yes, love how Tataz has musically imitated the croc's powerful snap with the strings. Very, very clever use of various articulations. Okay. Bartok Piz. I had to look this up. This is an instruction to strike the strings with the stick of the bow. So you just, like, whack it instead of, like, bow it. He also employs col legno battuto, which is when an instrument, it's an instruction to strike the string with the stick of the bow across the strings, and also has a a use of gliss, which is a rapidly executed series of notes on the harp or piano or a string instrument. So I thought that was really cool. I don't know what any of that means, but that's what a music person says.
Okay. I don't play any instruments, but I figure, you know, if they're hitting it, it's going to make a certain specific sound, and the quick play of the notes is going to, like, kind of be make it rapid, seem like it's like a... Things are amping up. That's what it sounds like.
It's from the moment whenever the croc goes back in the water when he's about to die, but there's a part where it goes underwater and it comes up and it like snorts water out of its nose. And the way the music is kind of timed with it, I think is really, really clever.
I also think it's clever that there was no, in a lesser movie or a movie that I would like to watch, like Two Three-Headed Shark Attack, Sand Sharks, that main character would have taken that stick and just rammed it into the shark, and it would have been like the movie over. No, you do not have the, you don't have enough fucking have human strength to do that. So yes, use their strength against you. We're both smart, but I'm going to have to get in between this rock. So when you take that bite force and try to bite me, I'm going to use your bite force against you. Because I think I looked up their bites, so it's like 2,000 PSI.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's that's the only way that stick was going through. So you're going to bite into it. So you're going to kill yourself.
Not me. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that pole doesn't break in half. Because I feel like even going through the scales on the crocodile, like through the top, I feel like that would be really hard to do. But he did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Could have been so fast that it didn't have a chance to.
Yeah, that's true. Because he just possibly.
I feel like our brains are stepping in, because not even just that, like the angle that the mouth was going in, it was like really aggressive and they were kind of gnawing. Like you see an animal, like I'm shaking my head at y'all, like how an animal is shaking on the meat. So in my mind, I was like, he's dead. Like even if you put that in, like something should, you should be in the mouth of the croc at this point. Yeah. Like you should at least be more injured than what we see, because I'm still trying to suspend my disbelief. I said, ain't no way he alive. Like, and then he pops up like,
no.
Got them legs dangling.
And his missing fingers, like that I think is the most painful injury in the movie, when he like rips his fingers off.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that one.
Ooh.
Oh,
should
have took
his whole arm off.
Oof.
I thought the whole arm was going to go.
I think, but that, but again, like I just love this cape. It's not even that long. I feel like it's maybe 7 minutes long, but like, oh, it's so good.
It feels like forever. And the fun thing is remember, this is where most of the CGI is. So they had like, I think they had the head for the part where it actually attacks him and he stabs it through, but they also had an animatronic there to kind of like provide positionings for the people who were doing the CGI. But for the most part, this is Michael Vartan acting by himself for, I want to say, like a week and a half. I think he said it was like 10 to 12 days.
That makes sense.
Of just nights in this cave set, which they built. And he's like, I'm just acting by myself, trying to look scared about this giant croc.
Okay, can someone explain to me this cave that's inside a tree?
I think the tree is on top, but it's
and it goes like down underneath. Okay.
Yeah. Think of Yellow Jacket season 2. Like underground, kind of like cold situation that might, like a pocket that might exist in the, I didn't think it was created. Or it could have been also something that was just naturally going that way, and then animals kind of burrowed through, in addition to like erosion and other stuff. Yeah. Like, I'm no scientist, but that made sense to me.
I thought erosion because of the rising tide, so maybe pulling soil in and out and washing through and leaving hollow spaces.
I love that shot though, when the croc first enters the lair, and it's like, it's like right at the entrance, so you're above the croc as you see it like push itself into the water. Oh, it looks so cool. Also, the sleeping croc is super cute.
Very cute.
I'm still afraid. Shout out to y'all. No, nothing was cute about that crocodile. Get that motherfucker away from me.
He just wanted a nap.
Give me 50 feet.
It was cute because it was on TV, not in real life.
Yeah, just a 7 meter long sleeping crocodile. Super cute.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I feel like that was movie magic for his legs not to get bit up in that bite. His legs should have been bit up. Because he had to get the crocodile had to get a perfect angle to not bite your arms, legs, nothing.
Very
for you
risky.
To just like, I mean, he was losing blood probably. And, you know, the bacteria in the crocodile's teeth, you got sepsis. I don't know. Something you have, you need some shots.
I mean,
you definitely
that's the coda. Shots. He just dies in the hospital from sepsis.
I was going to,
from like a little bite.
When he's touching all over that shit, like, yeah, he is going to lose
matter
his arm
everywhere
eventually.
In that cave. Yeah. Think of how dirty that water would be. That croc is just pooping in there all the time.
Everywhere.
And other animals.
By the way, apparently the set designer used real bones in there, so the heat lamps, apparently Michael Vartan was like, it smelled so bad.
Oh no.
Oh no.
It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre style stuff.
Cause not real bones.
Mm-hmm.
See, and this is how we get curses. This is exactly how we get motherfucking curses. We all could have dressed up some plastic bones. Y'all could really could have. I wouldn't have known the difference. We can't tell.
Okay, wait, this is unrelated, but Jazz, what started playing after Rogue behind you? Because I feel like it's Toby Hooper's Crocodile.
Is it Scream?
Oh, please. I will have to grab my remote that's on the ground over there. I will find out.
I feel like it's Toby Hooper's Crocodile. Oh, actually, no, maybe it's Anacondas.
No, I think it's Scream.
No, it's not Scream. Oh, no, it's Crocodile. It's Crocodile. I know that red hair anywhere.
It was Crocodile. It was. Okay. I've never seen that movie.
I'm sorry, there is a fantastic death
in I haven't seen
Crocodile, it. Where this guy, he's sitting at the end of a pier, and he's, like, trying to pull a rope in out of the water, and all of a sudden, the crocodile just goes, whoosh! And all that's left is a crocodile mouth-shaped hole in the pier, but it's, like, a perfectly carved crocodile mouth-shaped hole.
No. So was it a comedy? Is it a horror comedy?
No, it was a... I think it was a... Because it showed on Sci-Fi all the time when I was a kid. That's a movie, though, where it does use, like, TV CGI for some effects, but there's also, like, an actual practical crocodile in it. It's not a good movie, but it's a very entertaining... And if you're looking for the crocodile slasher, that's your movie.
That's it.
I clicked around. It has a 3.7 out of 10 on IMDb. And it came out 2000.
I watched it so many times. It's so fun. It's so fun. It's gross, too. It's really gross. Anyway.
I will add that to the watch list. Just by chance of the up next. But now, I'm going to watch that. I want to have featurettes. I want to see some shit on Rogue. All I had was the Tubi. You know, Tubi didn't give me anything but commercials.
I have a Blu-ray of it, but it's bare bones. Like, there's no subtitles. When you put the disc in, the movie just starts. And when it ends, like, when it goes through the credits, it just takes you to a screen that says, the movie's about to start. And then it starts it again.
Mine is the Blockbuster DVD, so I think the Blu-ray, they didn't put anything on it, but the DVD does have an audio commentary by McLean as well as the 46-minute feature.
Well, because I think I have a Canadian one, too, because the cover flips and it's French on the back, and I feel like that's what Canadians do.
Oh, that's definitely Canadian then. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, because I'm like, wait a minute. Yes, get it, Canada. Dang, I want to see the featurettes then. Because I'm like,
how
I don't have this.
How many toonies do I need?
I only have like 2 toonies. I feel like I have like $30 of Canadian money randomly in my purse.
Also.
Yeah, from when you came out to visit me. Can I give you one other fun fact from the featurette there? So the early part of the movie where they're out on the boat and everybody looks really fucking hot and we're talking about the flies and stuff, that's actually them filming in the Northern Territory, which is very, very hot. It's up near Darwin where a lot of the crocodiles actually are. But if Michael Vartan looks particularly hot, it's because he obviously is wearing his full like suit costume. And it was 51 degrees Celsius on one of the days. And in case you were wondering for you Americans, that is... 123.8. So Mia Wasikowska fainted, and a whole bunch of members of the crew did as well, because it was just so hot.
Is Australia also particularly humid?
Humid? Yeah.
Yeah. No,
and particularly that.
Because I've been in 114 degree heat in Vegas, but that's dry desert heat. Dry. Not
that's about to say.
Heat.
Like Arizona-ish. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's hot, but you could make it with the right clothes and water and stuff like that. 123 humid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't even go nudity. You just got to wear linens. You need to wear thin layers to protect your skin from the sun. You can't even have the bare skin out. You're getting fried up. Oh, man. This movie is pretty awesome. The crocodile is amazing. I feel like for crocodile attack movies, this is definitely like in one of the top five. Because, of course, Crawl was a good fucking time. Rogue is a good fucking time. I know we were talking a little bit about, what's that other movie that we were joking about earlier?
Lake Placid.
Yes. I like Lake Placid.
It's fine.
It's a little, I don't remember it being very... I don't know what the word is, but it's chaotic, and I will watch it 2 to 3 more times.
I think that's a movie where I always want a bigger body count, but it's one of those movies where it ends before the 80-minute mark, and so it barely feels like a full movie for me. And I think that's why I never give it the edge. Yeah. Like, there are parts that I like in it, and there are parts that are funny in it, and there's some gore in it. But it also just feels kind of tame for what it's trying to do, and it's very short.
Also, Trace, if you want to talk about gender flipping the lead roles in this movie, yep. That's like placid, because Bridget Fonda is like the bitch who like can't adjust to the outdoors.
And if I recall correctly, when we watched it, we were like, this is not a good woman character.
It's fun. Like, I like her banter. Yeah. I actually find that movie funnier than you do. But yeah, like, is anybody going to go? No one's going to die on that hill.
Well,
saying
and
it's a
let's
great
be
movie.
Clear. Lake Placid came out the same year as Deep Blue Sea. And between those two movies, there is a clear winner. And that is Deep Blue Sea.
Mm-hmm. And Deep Blue Sea, you know, people don't think that movie is that great. But I am.
Who are these people?
That movie.
I'll fight
five
them.
Stars. Five stars.
They exist. Great. I think they're the movie time. Score is the actual score. They're on the. You can see the reviews. They are actively hating out loud on that movie, and I'm like, damn, y'all didn't like it that bad. Y'all also fucking haters.
Also, talking about that's a shark slasher movie that has some awesome kills in it. Like, I don't even know how you can watch that and not have fun, but. Whatever.
Yeah, like the reason I thought that we were going to get the croc coming out of the water as they're going across is because I'm like, that's the Janice fucking Ian death.
Janice
in Deep
Ian,
Blue
that's
Sea.
Mean
where...
girl, sir.
God damn it, I do
it
every
just
time.
Her name is Janice.
Fine, just Janice.
We can pretend like, it's Janice Ian.
I was like, damn, Janice Ian got in this movie. I was about to, because y'all know, I don't know who's who. So I'm like, I was really about Lizzie to look Kaplan. It up like, damn, did she dye her hair or some shit?
You know what? Put Janice Ian from Mean Girls into Deep Blue Sea.
But Janice Ian does die in Cloverfield.
She does.
She does. I have that movie. I saw that in theaters. That was a time.
Mm-hmm. That was a good theater watch.
I was scared. I wish I would have seen this. And this would have been kind of fun in theaters, although they only dumped it in the 10 theaters and I did not get to see it. I had to watch it. Every time I've watched this has been with ads. I don't think I've seen this movie without ads, because I don't think I watched it until like 2020, 2021.
I used to have a Blockbuster DVD, but then I upgraded to Blue, which was a mistake, clearly. But yeah, I this is one of those ones where I showed it to a lot of people, because this came out when I was in college, and like no one would have known what this was. And I was like, oh, I got a good crocodile movie for you. Let's watch it.
You do have a good crocodile movie for us. Because I'm like, between this and Crawl, I'm trying to think of the other... This, Crawl, Lake Placid. I've never seen... I have been... Again, I need to watch it. I clearly need to watch this. And
there's a fantastic child death.
Alligator's got an amazing child death in it. Like, it is... It's like that and The Blob are my two favorite kid kills in movies.
The Blob. I love that movie. Okay, so now I gotta watch that movie, because an Alligator has multiple movies. Like, it's Alligator 2.
Yeah, but Alligator 2 was a sci-fi original movie. No. So what you gotta do Alligator and Crocodile. Alligator and Crocodile. That's your double feature.
There we go.
But one of them is a
what
much
order do we
better
do them
movie.
Yeah, so decide if you want to end with the good one or start with the good one.
I would say start with the good one, if only because... You know, maybe you're drinking or something during the movie, and you'll have a lot more fun with Crocodile if you're under the influence of something.
Right. I think I'm going to watch Crocodile tonight.
Please report back. I really hope if you watch it.
This was about up here, and now we're about down here. I'm not going to refill. Because right, it is school night. But this is about it. And I think this is good enough to probably watch Crocodile on. So it was already on. I saw that haircut. I was like, that's about
I'm telling you, that guy with the red dyed hair, but he's... I knew that as soon as I saw it. I was like, that's Crocodile.
He's about to say something wild. I could tell by his haircut. Because I feel like back in the 2000s, they gave people those hair. They was like, oh, that's the edgy character.
And
they're about to say something
and Joe,
wild.
They rip off Anaconda because someone gets swallowed whole by the crocodile in that movie, and they cut him out of it later.
Ooh. Yes. That sounds terrible, but
it's
very
so
fun.
Good.
I agree.
I will be watching this movie immediately.
There we go.
Yeah. Y'all going to see Letterboxd. It's going to be like, Crocodile. It happened today.
Someone went on a streak.
My reviews on Letterboxd are very chaotic. They're never like, there's only a few where it's like, okay, here's the feel. Here, most of the time it's like, this motherfucker really did that. Mm-hmm. That's wild. 4 stars.
What? Love it.
The French need to be studied in film. 4.5 stars. Because I don't know what's going on in France, but French extremity films. Ooh, there should be a French crocodile film. Please give that to me. I need it.
I think Crawl is the closest you're going to get, because it's Aja, at least a French director.
Well, it was good, so I could take more of that. I want more French animal attacks. Me too. I would.
Yeah, we don't have a French creature features, really. That's not really a thing.
Hello, it's called Infested, and it's coming next month.
It is coming out this year.
Spiders. Oh, hello?
That's spiders, though.
Spiders. It is the best spider movie since Arachnophobia, yeah, ladies.
Absolutely. And the guy that directed it, he just got the gig of directing the next Evil Dead movie because his spider movie was so good.
I did hear about that part, Trace, but the spiders part. I saw y'all posting about it. I was quickly scrolling past because my skin was crawling. I was like, absolutely not. Yeah. But I'm listening because Arachnophobia did all the things for me. Mm-hmm.
Another realistic animal attack. Another one. It wasn't, the spiders are not jumping in the air like, woo! Well, although, I like that.
They may be jumping, by the way.
In Infested, yes. But in Arachnophobia, they're real because they use all... There's no CGI in Arachnophobia. It's all real spiders in Arachnophobia.
It's spiders. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, bite, deadly. Bite, deadly. It's a bunch
of them.
That's
what always scared me so much. It's like a single bite. Ugh. That's all it took.
And it's quick. It was in a slipper.
The old woman who turns off the lamp, and she like it comes down from the lamp and bites her hand. Oh, it's so sad.
Oh. Okay, not to really fuck everybody up, but think about how many Bilbo spiders you swallow every year. Okay, sorry.
Uh-huh. No.
Nope. Thank you.
Nope.
That was unnecessary to remind me. I'm sending an email.
Don't jump me, guys.
We won't be jumping here. But guys, this was amazing. Yeah. I will be watching Crocodile after this. I think we need more there's like 1,000 shark movies. There are not 1,000 crocodile movies. Okay. They're fucking limited. And some of them are like Dundee films. Some of them are not even like
The Crocodile Hunter movie in theaters when I was a kid.
Was it fun?
I remember it being fun. Crocodile Hunter Collision Course. That was the name of it. But yes. Mm. Oh, yeah. I think it was a narrative movie, too. But it was like still like Steve Irwin doing Crocodile Hunter shit because he and his wife were the leads in it. But they were playing like, I think, fictionalized versions of themselves.
Characters.
It was kind of one of those. I don't know.
It's a no. Move on.
Rest in peace, Steve Irwin.
Yes.
Because I still got beef with the Steve
I think his son, though, but I think both of his kids are, like, taking up his legacy, though, because I think I've seen clips of his son doing, like, death-defying things with animals.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you are correct.
Me and the stingray going to fight. Not you.
So we're going to arrest the stingray as well as the croc, is what we're saying. The stingray getting beat up.
I'm just beating the stingray up. I'm not even letting the stingray get a trial. He's not going to jail. I'm just going to beat him up.
I'm calling the animal police on the croc, though, because that's somebody that's out of control, and that's out of my jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. I'm not dealing with that. See, that would have been me on the boat. You need to turn this around. I'm not doing
that. Exactly, that we're fighting, straight up.
My bus leaves at what time? Y'all about to pay for this? No.
I don't give a fuck if you're about to pay for this. I'm tasing everyone. Everyone's waking up, and we're going to be back at the dock.
Dock the boat.
And we're going to crash, because I don't know how to drive that motherfucker. We're going to crash into it. I pay y'all later. But yeah, thanks guys for picking this movie. Because I don't know when we would have covered this. I don't know when we would have covered another animal attack movie. We haven't covered animals in a minute. We need to.
I appreciate y'all for introducing this in my life.
Glad you liked it.
Once again, introducing a fun movie into my life. So
I'm glad you liked it. So glad.
Next time, Doomsday. Yeah, I need a DVD.
Okay, because Kat has agreed.
Doomsday is Lady Mad Max with a bit of 28 Days Later thrown in for good measure. Like, that's what Doomsday is.
All right, great.
This sounds fucking amazing. Well, Okay, well, that's... Okay, so we'll put that on the schedule for another day. Me fake typing into my Palm Pilot. All right, but... I'm not gonna hold people too long, so I'm gonna we're gonna rate this movie, like give it a little rating. Okay, fuck what everybody else rated this movie, because I think this movie is a solid like 7 out of 10, and 7 out of 10 is pretty good for me for animal attacks, because usually most animal attacks are not getting more than an 8.5. You know, because I like them, but it's not like my favorite subgenre. So I think a 7, and I'm like, damn, it's so realistic, and it did so much in comparison to all the animal attacks movies I've seen with all the CGI, where somebody literally decided, I'm about to open up Windows 95 and I'm gonna hit the paint, and this is y'all crop. Mm-hmm. Like this Pixel. No, this Pixel. Is impressive. Pixel. Fake blood. But I give this bitch a 7. What about you, Kat?
I also think this is about a 7, 7.5. I wanted to see some different things. I know Trey's about to jump me because I'm still thinking about sacrificing that dog. Like, I really just felt like we would have gotten far so much faster. But it's okay. It's all good. It's the worst. But yeah, no, I think this was good. And like I said, I'm excited that this was introduced into my life because I love like random like reptilian creature features. I'm not always pressed to go press play on it originally. Like, oh, I'm about to seek it out. But I love when they're introduced to me because there's not many choices that are actually like worth my eyes setting on, and I thought this was one. Yeah. So yeah,
we're your tastemakers. We will direct you to the good creature features or the fun creature features that aren't good but still fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. As long as we're having.
Yeah, this is an 8 out of 10 for me. I really, really like this movie, and I actually I have Crawl the same. I have Crawl as an 8 out of 10 too. I just, in the pantheon of crocodile and alligator movies, this is up there for me. Like way, way, way up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an 8 for me as well. You know, I think there's a couple of things I might quibble with, but overall, like, I just really enjoy watching this movie, and it's so much better than, like, what you might expect. We've all seen bad versions of this, and this is the good version.
Yeah, no, this the storyline is, like, nothing where it's like, that's stupid. That's stupid. There was not a lot of, that's so stupid. Why would y'all do that? There was none of that. There was decisions I wouldn't have made. But also, when you think about how humans move, very realistic, very realistic. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to let you guys plug yourselves, because everybody, plug yourselves. We're going to let everybody.
How dare you? On camera, too.
This is, like, the second time I've done this. And I don't mean to say it like
man, every time I do this, fans. I just be like, I don't give that away for free.
Pricey. Okay, guys, go ahead and tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find us. I mean, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. I mean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Google. But of course, you can always find us on Bloody Disgusting. Our hosts.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We will be inviting y'all back. Little do y'all know, we've already decided. Surprise, but guys, if you guys want to pull up on us, y'all know where to find us at Girl That's Scary. Okay. Yes. If you want to email us a professional email about what you think about crocodiles, alligators, and all those things, go ahead and email us at grltspod@gmail.com.
Come on, ASMR.
But no, for real, pull up on us, rate us 5 stars for 5-star chicks. We really appreciate all the ratings, the reviews, the shares. Shout out to y'all. Now, until next time, y'all. Bye.
Stay out the water. Bye. Yeah.
For real.
Thank you for listening to the Dread Podcast Network.